Whether you're just beginning your journey into wine or you're a seasoned connoisseur, Justin Wines has something special for every moment. Since 1981, Justin has been setting the standard for world-class Bordeaux-style wines. As the trailblazer that put Paso on the winemaking map, Justin's dedication to excellence is undeniable. Their team takes a boutique approach, hand harvesting and hand sorting to ensure every bottle reflects the highest quality. With a history of accolades to back it up, Justin is proud to be America's number one luxury Cabernet producer. Whether you're new to wine or a seasoned enthusiast, Justin has the perfect wine for every celebration and occasion. Looking to elevate your holiday experience? Justin Wines makes the ideal gift for clients, colleagues, friends, or family. Visit justinwine.com today. And don't forget to use the promo code PLAYBOOK20 for 20% off your order. This limited time offer is the perfect way to share an unforgettable wine experience with those who matter most. Welcome to Entrepreneurs the Playbook. I'm David Meltzer, and we have an incredible executive, also a podcaster and an author. It's mostly the executives today that are holding some significant personal brands, and he is a remarkable person who has the Remarkable People podcast as well. He is the chief evangelist of an incredible company called Canva. Welcome to the Playbook, Guy.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm curious about something. Why do you have an empty chair over your right shoulder?
So that's a great question. I have multiple studios. I have one at SoFi Stadium. We have one at the Wynn, one at the Palazzo, one in New York with Sirius XM. I have one in my closet. And for this one, I am on the other side of my wife's desk. And most of our distribution is audio. So not as particular about my set design as I probably should be, but I have a face for radio, and my voice seems to permeate a greater and bigger audience over the last 8 years than, of course, our beautiful faces or sets. But yeah, that's just conveniently where I'm on the other side of my wife's desk with all my equipment.
I thought it was something deeply symbolic. Like this is for Elijah. Empty chair to signify the customer's focus. And this is the customer's chair. The customer's king.
I love it. Yeah, no, Elijah, I'm waiting for Elijah, our savior, to come. Speaking of evangelists, though, I only try to get remarkable people on it. And you're around so many remarkable people in your business and your podcast. What do you find to be the common denominator of remarkable people?
Well, in a sense, the book Think Remarkable that I wrote with Madison Neisner, it is a reflection of what we found as commonality. And at the highest level, we divided that book into three sections: growth, grit, and grace. And I will tell you that those are three qualities that remarkable people have. They have a growth mindset. They're willing to take on new things and try new things. They realize that in order to succeed at these new things, you need a grit mindset. And finally, towards the end of their career, they really have this attitude of, well, it's time to be gracious and graceful and pay back society.
And all three of those have to reconcile in the reality of today. We use and throw around several different terms, but there is the discipline and pragmatic nature of having and wanting to be what you can be. And work ethic is something that is no shortage of you and the people you surround yourself with. How do we reconcile the grit and grace, the theoretical of being successful, which is an absolute common denominator, with the other side of it? You know, I call it people that talk about the law of attraction. I go, what about the law of Goya, getting off your ass? And whether it's in school, building a business, there's something to be said about the grit part beyond the grace.
Yeah, I would say that, you know, if I can't tell you, I know one remarkable person who simply sat on their ass. I mean, it, you know, as the ancient Japanese or Chinese saying, depending on who you talk to, the saying is that you have to stand by the side of a river for a very long time before the Peking duck flows in your mouth. I guess that must be Chinese because Japanese don't have Peking ducks. So the Chinese saying, you have to stand by the side of a river for a very long time before a Peking duck flies in your mouth.
It's so true. You can't sit. I have a different way of saying it in the modern day world of you just can't sit on your mom's house, your mom's couch, high, sick and broke all the time, dreaming about what you want. You actually have to go get it. but beyond that, it does take wisdom and faith. You are an extremely educated person as an entrepreneur. There is a trend in entrepreneurship as we've changed the way that we learn. And I think it's a difficult position to be in as a leader because I think a lot of people discount education when there is a transformation occurring in the education system. You and I both are formally educated by some of the finest institutions. You with, of course, Stanford and I think Berkeley as well and several other schools. How do you see education today comparatively when we grew up, where it was more formalized and although it's still very competitive to get into these schools, there's a whole genre of people that say, don't go to college, don't go to graduate school.
You know, what I've noticed is that the people who say, don't go to college and don't go to graduate school are the people who haven't gone to college and or completed it and gone to graduate school. But
I agree.
let me give you something that is a very good and general rule for when you encounter things like this. So many times you'll hear people say, oh, you don't need a college education. Mark Zuckerberg, Steve Jobs, Bill Gates, they don't have, you know, this actual degrees. So there's three arguably the most successful people. They didn't have college degrees. You don't need a college degree. So when you hear a story like that, you should always ask the question, what's missing? And what's missing is you've heard about three people who didn't have degrees who succeeded. Well, what about the people who did have degrees and succeeded? What about the people who didn't have degrees and failed? And what about the people who did have degrees and also failed? And you'll find out that if you look at the Fortune 500, roughly 500 of those CEOs have college degrees. So the fact that someone can pull out of their, well, I was going to say their ass, but someone they pull it out of the air, that there's three examples of billionaires who have not had college degrees, that isn't proof that you don't need a college degree or it's not a good thing. And if you think about it, in the history of tech, people can pull up three examples, right? Well, that might tell you something. In the past 75 years, we have three examples. You know, what's the odds of you being the fourth? I mean, now, this is not to say that a college degree is necessary or sufficient to succeed, but I really think that it's four more years of getting greater exposure, of meeting more people, of getting a more general foundation. And I am going to be the last person in the world to tell you not to get a college degree if you can. Now, if you cannot, that's a different discussion. And because of, you know, Khan Academy and various online education services, many colleges give away their courses for free. You also need to not conflate education with learning. I mean, you know, you can learn without a formal education. You can also have a formal education and not learn anything. And I don't know where you stand politically, but there are a lot of Yale graduates. When you listen to what they say, you have to say, what the hell happened to them? How did you go to Yale and then decide that, you know, if you're a childless woman with cats, you're inferior? Like, right. Where did you learn that at Yale? Like, was that freshman orientation, you know, feminism in the future? I mean, what the hell happened there?
It's not what we say, it's what we hear. And there's some institutions that created their own social silos. And now we see that, of course, amplified by social media, that these social silos create a vacuum of information that fill the narrative that all human beings have of their mind, which leads me to the importance of psychology. One of the things that we share is studying psychology and understanding it. I always say my mom, who believed, you know, doctor, lawyer, failure. So academic education as a second grade teacher and a principal were the most important thing for the six kids that she raised as a single mom. But more importantly, the psychology that's created by human nature. And I study a lot of history. And by the way, those three gentlemen that did not graduate, remember, they went to the finest academic institutions in our country. They were bored. So if I encourage people, everybody get a degree, unless you're so intelligent that going to Harvard, Penn, Columbia, Stanford, Berkeley bores you, then I think you're okay not graduating like those three guys. I'm not one of those. And my sibling was summa cum laude at Harvard, and he was bored. He decided to get more graduate degrees in a shorter amount of time instead of dropping out. But more importantly, psychology. How important is human nature and psychology in business today?
Oh, I majored in psychology as an undergraduate. Now, I mean, we can reinvent history, and I can tell you, yeah, I had a master plan to become a great evangelist and marketer, so I studied psychology. That would be total bullshit, because I majored in psychology because that was the easiest major I could find at Stanford. Let's just be honest. No, it just happened I was lucky, and it, you know, it's very useful to have a psychology degree, but nah, that wasn't the plan. Now, if I could do it all over again, I would probably major in behavioral economics. I love the topic of behavioral economics. I would be a Daniel Kahneman, you know, just student, and I would worship the ground that he used to walk on.
That is, I love, if I could go back, I probably would study physics, quantum physics, metaphysics, figure out the science behind energy and the infinite nature of the universe. But I love that. Both of us being marketers in different ways in different places. But yet the word evangelist is imprinted on my mind when I think of your leadership and your capability. I think a lot of people may not have a clear definition of an evangelist when it comes to Canada or corporations in general. When you utilize that title and that moniker, for you, for the sake of what are you calling yourself an evangelist? How do you define that?
Well, evangelism comes from a Greek word meaning bringing the good news. So what an evangelist does is bring the good news. So I brought the good news of Macintosh, how it would make you more creative and productive as chief evangelist of Canva. I'm bringing the good news that Canva will make you a better communicator by empowering you to create your own graphic designs. So what an evangelist does is bring the good news. Now, the difference between evangelism and sales is that usually an evangelist has the other person's best interests at heart. So when I tell you to use a Macintosh or a Canva, I am not just out for myself trying to fill my quota, get my bonus and, you know, my stock options. I am looking out for you. I truly do believe that a Macintosh will make you more creative and productive, and Canva will make you a better communicator. And I want to draw one more distinction. Do not confuse evangelism with evangelicalism. There is absolutely no overlap there.
I love that. And to have those practical paradigms between the two and other things, you deal with that in your book. One of the things I loved about Think Remarkable is the practical, tactical methodology of what seems to be a very subjective topic. And when we're trying to make a difference and trying to change lives, both personal and professional lives, we need to have practices. And there's a proven in the physics realm of consistent behavior and practices. And any evangelist would know that the importance of consistency in bringing the good news. What are some of the tips, that practical tips that you can give people when we're thinking remarkably, when we're making these changes, personally and professional, how to be tactical in the practical side of consistently bringing good news?
Sure. So, you know, my podcast is called Remarkable People. We now have about 250 episodes, which is 250 hours and 5,000 pages of transcripts. And this book is written because we wanted to cut that down so people could get the best of the book. And so there are 88 tactics in this book, over 170 pages. So it's 2 pages per tactic, as opposed to many business books, which is 200 pages for one tactic. So I'll give you a tactic, because I suspect that many of your listeners are entrepreneurs and, you know, young people starting off and, you know, stuff like that. And I got this tactic and this insight from Andrew Zimmern. Andrew Zimmern is the world famous TV host and culinary artist and chef. And he had that crazy series called Bizarre Foods. So he told me, you know, as a career recommendation, looking back and how you become remarkable, is the goal is to become indispensable. And when you are indispensable, you get obviously more money and more opportunities, and you also get more responsibility. So the goal is to be indispensable. Now, that's a high level tactic. So now, how do you get to be indispensable? And he told me two things. First of all, you keep showing up, because many people just do not keep showing up. This ain't rocket science. And the second thing he told me is you just say yes and you do all the shit work that nobody else wants to do. So you do the shit work, you keep showing up, you'll be indispensable, and pretty soon you'll be remarkable.
Imagine starting a small business. Your first customer, your first hire, your first real paycheck. It's an exciting time, but also a little scary. That's where JustWorks comes in. As an all-in-one platform, JustWorks supports small business growth by providing seamless tools for benefits, payroll, HR, and compliance, all with transparent pricing. Running payroll is now painless. You can complete it in 90 seconds or less, and automate payments. So it's as simple as set it and forget it. In 2023 alone, JustWorks processed over 25.6 billion in trusted payroll for its customers. And you won't have to worry about paperwork. They handle payroll, tax documents, and reporting to ensure compliance. Visit justworks.com/podcast to join thousands of small businesses that trust JustWorks to manage payroll, benefits, compliance, and more. That's justworks.com/podcast. One of those remarkable people that I'm blessed to be around and do some consulting with is Bob Parsons, who we both know exited GoDaddy for $4 point something billion personally. And instead of the old saying of, you know, if you love what you do, you'll never work a day in your life, he said something more powerful aligned with the tactics in your book, which was, if you learn to love what you do and you learn to love what you don't like and don't love and you do it every day, life will tell you all its secrets. And when I read your book, there was a lot of secrets to put me at ease, dissipate and dissolve the dis-ease that I've created in my own personal and professional life. And one of the lessons also that I've derived from your podcast and book is the importance of relationships, professional ones, of course, and mentorship and being a mentee, having people in your life that you can ask for help from, and also giving help to others to get to where they want to be or better. But very few people are evangelic about their marriage. And I am an evangelist and evangelic about my partner who I just celebrated my 27th anniversary with. And very rarely do I see successful executives like ourselves who tout the importance of their spouse, their intimate partner. How important has your marriage been to you and your spouse?
Well, I have this theory that behind every successful man is an amazing woman. And I would further add to that, that behind every successful man is an amazed woman. Now, the difference between amazing and amazed is this. Amazing means, well, that's obvious, right? You know, someone smart, good judgment, you know, excellent taste, whatever, you know, all that stuff. Amazed is because I think that many amazing women who are, you know, standing by their man, they must at some point say, how the hell is this guy successful? Like, what am I missing here?
I'm going to steal that, my friend. That is amazing.
Feel free.
I'm going to replay this for my wife because I look at her sometimes and she's always amazing to me, but I am sure she is amazed with the journey that we've been able to live and still live with beautiful people that are teaching through different ways today. One of the legends of the Silicon Valley, working with the biggest companies in the world, now the chief evangelist of Canva. He has a podcast. If you want to be remarkable, surround yourself with remarkable people. And that's an easy thing to do these days because he has a Remarkable People podcast. And then he has the edited, abridged version of Remarkable in Think Remarkable, where he delivers the practical, tactical, and even sometimes radical discussion on how to transform your life and truly make a difference for the sake of what you want in your life, not what other people want, not what's missing, and not what you don't have. Guy Kawasaki, he's helping all of us, and I appreciate all that he does and will do. Check him out, of course, with his podcast and his book, especially the chief evangelist of Canva, author, podcaster. Thank you, Guy Kawasaki, for joining me.
And that was a hell of an outro. That's the best outro I've ever had. My God.
Well, thank you. That is a blessing. I'm David Meltzer. That is the best outro I've ever done here with Entrepreneurs, the Playbook.